conference we got coming. And she just out of the blue, she said, well, are we going to have a prayer service? And I said, well, we're going to have one, but it's just normal. And sometimes things can trigger things. I believe to be always open if the Lord touches your heart. And I just all of a sudden, I was praying about the service I was going to do as far as the regular teaching. And the Lord just spoke to my heart. He didn't speak audibly, but there's things it does. Because all of a sudden, scripture began to come to your mind. And he said, well, you pray every Wednesday night, but you don't give the church the chance to pray. They have a chance, but it's not like we should. We're family. And you know, the Bible has a lot to say about prayer, ladies and gentlemen. You go through it. There's a lot of places, a lot of different situations. So what I did, I want you to look with me just a few minutes. Turn to 2 Chronicles with me, chapter 7. I'm going to give you some thought, Old and New Testament, to show how important prayer is. Because you know what this verse is. You heard about it. But this is just a launching point. Then we're going to have prayer in just a few minutes. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, we get down to verse 12. And we see that Solomon has had the dedication prayer for the temple. And the Lord is responding to Solomon. Notice what he says. And what I believe with all my heart, when God responds to anybody, the situation may be different what they're praying about, but the theme of the prayer is the need that's there. And it can be as much today as it was then. Just think about this. We're not praying about the dedication of a temple, except these temples. And so there's a lot to be learned from any place you turn into scripture has to do about a subject. He said, and the Lord appeared unto Solomon by night. Watch this. And he said unto him, watch now. God said to Solomon, I have heard thy prayer. You go back and you look to start with. If you look back in chapter 6, you get down about verse 12. You see his prayer of dedication comes through, and then a little more dialogue, and then chapter 7, he had sacrifice, rejoicing, given. But now Jehovah God is appearing and speaking to Solomon. And he said, I've heard thy prayer. Now, when I see that personal pronoun, I, notice he said, I've heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. That I is still in each one of those sentences. That's a personal thing. He said, I have heard thy prayer. I can say I have, God can say also, we can read, I have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. Now, he's talking about the temple. Now, watch. Once he says to him, I've heard your prayer, Solomon, and I've chosen this place for sacrifice. Now, he didn't say it this time for prayer, but that's what it's for, because sacrifice has to do with everything that God's doing to this nation. And pointing to the time that Jesus Christ should come. So that word sacrifice is a powerful word. We can spend a lot of time there and go through scriptures and show where God used sacrifice of animals, pigeons, you know, lambs, to the real sacrifice came in Jesus Christ. But that's not it. I want you to notice the prayer part. Now watch verse 13. He says, Solomon, I've heard thy prayer. And he said, I want you to understand, I've chosen this place to myself. To myself. Now it's going to benefit Israel. But this is for myself. In other words, God has said, I'm making a way that you can have a relationship with me, even though there's sin in your life. And what does he say in verse 13? Now, if I, now watch this again. He's talking to his people. He calls them his people. He said, if I shut up the heaven, that there be no rain. Now, we'll read this through, and I'm going to come back and read it again. If I shut up the heavens, there be no rain. If I command the locusts to devour the land, and if I send pestilences among my people. Now, watch the last four words, among my people. That means every time he said, if I, it's among his people. So I go back to get emphasis on this thing, and I read, if I shut up the heavens that there be no rain among my people, or if I command the locusts to devour the land among my people, or if I send pestilences among my people. Notice that? Now, watch. If he does it to his people, wherever they're at, it's going to affect everybody else around. But he's saying to, when you see this, what do they realize when these things come? What do they realize it or not, that it's to them? If they see it coming, God has given them something. Wherever you're at, what's happening? If I do these things, if you do this, and this is what he said, watch in verse 14. Now, if I shut up, you know, the heavens, if I command the locusts, if I send pestilence, if my people, there it is again. He didn't say the world here. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, and gives four things they need to do. Notice one, the second one is prayer. The first said humble. In other words, God said, if you come before me to pray, you be sure you're humble. Don't come with me with pride. Don't come with me to lifting high somehow. No, you be sure you're humble. And he said, if my people, now he's already told what he's going to do among his people. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, number two, and pray, number three, and seek my face, and number four, turn from their wicked way. Now, what will God do? When these things come your way and you see them, they're going to hit the unjust and the just alike. But if my people will do this, humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. Now, folks, I'll be honest with you. There's a lot of praying going on these days, but not a lot of turning from wicked ways. You see what's happening? And so there's a mixed motion a lot of times about what prayer, answering prayer is. God has a formula. It works if it's met. We can't half meet it. We can't part meet it. We have to meet 100%. If it is, God will do what he said he would do. Now watch what he said. He said again, he said, if my people do that, then he said, shall humble himself, then I, watch this, seek my face and turn from which ways. This is what I'll do. Well, then, after those four things are done in a person's life, and it starts individual throughout the nation of Israel. It starts the church, individual throughout the church. It's individual basis, collected together, this happens. Now, if my people, who hears this, what I say, he's telling Solomon, he said, then when I hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. I like that. Now, look with me in Luke chapter 6, if you will, for just a moment. That's just one thing. I'm going to give you these real fast, like. Look with me in Luke chapter 6. We're going to turn to what even the Lord Jesus Christ amazes me. In Luke chapter 6, if you look down in verse 13, it said, then it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and then he chose 12 whom he also his name. Now, out of the disciples that followed him, he chose 12 who he named his apostles. What's the verse before that, though? It says, and it came to pass in those days when he was doing this teaching, and when he called these 12 out among the disciples that followed him. See, there were many disciples that had followed him. Anyone who had followed Jesus Christ was described as a disciple. But he chose from those disciples 12 apostles. Notice what he said. And it came to pass in those days that he went up into the mountain to pray. And he continued all night in prayer to God. Why would the Son of God, who is God in the flesh, do this? Do you think he had to? Absolutely not. Why did he do it then? He's representing man. He's showing us how important prayer is. I don't know many times that people prayed all night. I know a few times years ago this church prayed all night long because we had someone on the altar all night from one night eve to the next morning. We were praying. We did that. I think we took, depending on the number of people we had that night to commit themselves to pray, we divided them up and we had a certain amount of prayer they prayed. And then they went back and stayed a little while. If they wanted to leave, they could until everybody prayed. We even drew straws one time or drew names or something to do that, to pray. But Jesus prayed all night long. Not because he had to, but because he was the Son of Man. He was the ideal man that God was showing, that God in the flesh could do what was needed. And he showed us how important prayer. And ladies and gentlemen, if prayer is important, the Lord Jesus to show us, it's important for us to do. So notice what he said. And so he went ahead and he called those disciples that time. I want you to look in Acts chapter 3 and verse 1. There's so many of these, I can't do them all. Here's the time it said in verse 1, now Peter and John went up together into the temple of the hour to pray, being the ninth hour. Now that's about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I want you to look with me at this in Isaiah 55. I mean, Psalms 55, I'm sorry. In Psalms 55. In Psalms 55 and verse 17, David's praying. Now watch, at this time later, we know this in many years before, after the Psalms have been written, and it's about 33 years, and Christ is about 33 years old at this time when he's headed towards the end of his life. And here it said, and Peter and John went up, or Christ at this time he's already died and gone back to heaven at this particular time, because they didn't accept Acts 2. But what I'm saying is, about 33 A.D., Peter and John went up to the temple to pray. It was about the hour, at the hour of prayer, and it was about the ninth hour. The ninth hour had been 3 o'clock in the afternoon. If you look what David said, he said in verse 17, back years before that, he said, even in morning and at noon when I pray and cry aloud, he shall hear my voice. David said, I pray in the morning, I pray at even, and I pray at noon. In other words, if you look at it, 9 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock. He didn't say how long he prayed, but there was three times a day he said he prayed. And Peter and John went into the temple to pray at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, just for prayer. There was no teaching we know of, nothing. They went there for the purpose of prayer. And then they go, and I look in Acts chapter 12, a few places again, and we see what happens. Sometimes people can pray, and maybe they really have a desire to pray, but when they pray and God gives an answer, they can't even see it. It makes you know sometimes we pray and believe God's going to do something. He does, he wouldn't believe he did it. If here Peter, you know, he's been put in prison. There's a great assassination against the disciples at this time. And Peter now has been put in prison. And so you look in verse 5, it said, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing to the church unto God for him. In other words, down at Mark's house, their family's house, they would have in prayer. And he said, they pray without ceasing. Ladies and gentlemen, we look at that and say, pray, you know, what was it, right? That's 20 minutes. No, it said without ceasing. They've been praying a long time. You know what? They were praying that God would release Peter. Now, watch what happened. Of course, later, read the rest. I don't have time. How he released them. And we get down about verse, it said in verse 11, Peter was come to himself after he had out of the prison. He said, now I know of surety that the Lord has sent his angel to deliver me. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose name was Mark, and where many gathered together to pray. And Peter knocked at the door of the gate, and a damsel came named Rhoda, and when she knew Peter's voice, she didn't even see him. She knew his voice. She opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. Now let me ask you something. What were they praying for? Release Peter. And suddenly they're praying. Who dare come and disturb them knocking on the gate when they're praying? So the little damsel goes to the door. And she goes, and then she said, man, scared the devil. Who is it? And Peter said, it's I. And she recognized his voice. Hey, she's so excited, she don't even open the door. She runs back and says, hey, Peter's outside. Now watch these people praying. These holy people, these wonderful Christians that are praying. And praying, believing God's going to do something. Wonder why God puts this in here. You know, he knows us. Brother, he knows us, Brother Tyson. He knows us. We don't know so much about prayer that I don't know if we're really, well, what can I say? Well, I don't know what to say. I think you can figure that for yourself. Notice what goes on, though. And he says, Peter knocked again, and when she knew the voice, she went and ran before and said, Peter, stand at the gate. And they said to her, thou art mad. But she constantly confirmed and said, yeah, I know, this Peter, they said it's an angel. But Peter kept knocking, poor Peter. He just kept knocking. And when they had opened the door, they saw him. What were they? Astonished. Wasn't that what they were praying for? You know, I think we're the same way. There's time we pray for something and God brings it. And when it comes, we're astonished. As a matter of fact, he might not do it right then. He might do it 2 days later, 2 weeks later. And when it comes, we're astonished, forgotten we already prayed about it. God's a wonderful God, folks. And then I'd say again that they pray consistently. Now look in Isaiah chapter 40. I've got a couple more, and then we'll tell you what we want to do. In Isaiah chapter 40 in the Old Testament, and there's so many of these we could go to. In Isaiah chapter 40, down about verse 31, here's what Isaiah said. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be wearied. And they shall walk and not faint. In other words, be not weary in the prayer life. The hardest thing you and I had to do in this life is pray. Whatever you want to think. Because prayer to God is not just table grace. That's for others to see sometimes. Prayer to God can be agony in soul sometimes. And especially if you're brokenhearted. You pray with people who get brokenhearted over things, and there's a different type of prayer than this, Lord, please pray for me because of certain such things in life. And God has told us here, they that wait, notice, I want you to notice the word wait. There's a time when we pray, we have to wait for something. And he said, now, first we showed us about the prayer, and how he said, if you wait, here's what's going to happen. You're down, out, struggling, wondering, amazement, overwhelmed. If you wait, what he says, wait on the Lord, you're going to renew your strength. Isn't it amazing sometimes when we pray in agony for something, it doesn't seem to be an answer, and we're waiting on the Lord and still praying? God has given us strength. You know why I know that? Because he said he would. That's what that set it forth here. And I believe this book. And he goes on, he said, you need to see, and you mount up with wings, I mean, that is, you'll be able to move with it. There run, you shall run, not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Now, I want you to look with me in Lamentation. That's over, if you turn a few pages, Jeremiah, and go to the book right after that, you see Lamentation. And I want you to see what Lamentation says. In chapter 3, Jeremiah says this. Watch. Now, I just told you, he said, wait on the Lord, here in Isaiah. Jeremiah said in chapter 3, verse 25, the Lord is good. Everybody say amen to that.
Amen.
Watch, he said, but unto them that wait for him. Now, we all say he's good. But isn't it amazing? God said he's good to those who wait on him. Notice, wait for him to the soul that seeketh him. See, what happens is this. God knows a true waiting for him when we're seeking on our knees. A true waiting for him is seeking him on our knees. And that's when he said, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him. And notice, wait for him and to the soul that seeketh after him. If we're waiting like we should, our souls are going to be seeking God for an answer. And you know what that happens? Then it submits, Lord, whatever is your will. It's submitting, dear Father, I don't know, but you know me better than myself. It's submitting that we know God is able, man alive. Let me tell you what, if God wanted to, folks, listen to me. If God wanted to, he could, in a split second, destroy this earth and completely annihilate it and give it back in another second. People don't look at God. People have so much concern about controlling God that they don't let him control them. And so prayer is an amazing thing. Then I notice again, this last one I want you to look with me at. It's in Psalms chapter 37. Go over to Psalms 37. In Psalms chapter 37, notice what David said again, down about verse. I'm going to read a few verses here. Look down about verse 34. Now, David's talking about wait again. Watch this. Now, I've been talking about prayer and what to do, and I'm talking about wait. And ladies and gentlemen, you say, wait a minute, preacher, what should, because this is what God is telling us when we do things, why we do it, and we need to do it right. We need to do it right. If God laid it out, then it needs to be done, not how we think it ought to be done right. Now, there's nothing wrong when we do it right, I think, on Wednesday night when we have prayer, we come together for that. But all of a sudden, it reminded me there's a time we as people need to meet to prayer, and what better time than Thanksgiving Day or the night before Thanksgiving? Now watch this and we're close. Watch. And David said this in verse 34. There it is. Wait on the Lord. Now, what does that mean? Just, well, Lord, I'm waiting on you. I'm just waiting on you. No. Watch what he said. Isn't it amazing while you're waiting, you can do something? David said, wait on the Lord and keep his way. And what? He shall exalt thee to inherit the land. Notice again. Not if, but when the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. You know, ladies and gentlemen, this country is heading in a way away from God as fast as any one time I've ever seen in my history. And God is saying, hey, time will come, and some of God's people are going to see this, that God's going to let the hatchet fall on this country. He said that to David. Watch, he said again, when I wait on the Lord and keep his way, and if you do that as a child of God, he shall exalt thee to inherit the land of what are the blessings of God. But he said, when the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. Not only will he exalt us, he said, you're going to see the wicked cut off one of these days. Watch what he says. Now, in verse 35, I have seen the wicked in great power. Sometimes we wonder if he does, doesn't he? How in the world can God see the wicked in great power and not just sap and zap him? He'd have the power to do it. He's a merciful God. God gives every chance possible for this human race to see him in his power, in his love, in his mercy. And when they keep trumping the love under that and produce generations that's worse than a generation before, one of these days he's going to cease the generations because they get weaker and there's nothing to be done about it unless he just does what he said he's going to do to start with, and his days are coming. And once he said again, I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. There's not one in here that seen somebody who lived like the devil and lived, seemed like they had a silver spoon in their mouth. And you were trying to serve God and you couldn't hardly get along. And if you've been doing some things like I've experienced and Barbara did in the early days when we stepped out, really, you wonder where sometimes you're going to get your next meal. that some of it done, and missionaries done it, I'm sure of that. You wonder sometimes what's going to happen. And you had to do what God said. You found a scripture, you claimed that promise, and within the period of time waiting on God, he always opened up. He always opened up. Sometimes you may think you won't, and Satan says, see, you made the wrong decision. You know, you went back on God there, and it really didn't mean anything at all. Or you were trying to serve him, and it didn't mean anything at all. Many people have served him for years and backed up on him. Watch, and he said, I have seen the wicked great, and then watch, he said, yet I've seen him spreading him like a green tree. This wicked was spread like a green bay tree. That's a prosperous looking tree. Yet he passes away. Oh, he passed away. And lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. He said he passed away, and God said, but wait a minute, I still sought him. I sought him, but he could not be found. In other words, how would God find him? How would God find a person today? He sends people like us out to witness to them. We open this precious book. God is searching. God is drawing. God is drawing. But he's never found like he can be until they acknowledge that he's who he is and trust him. And that's what God said. He said, yet he passed away, and lo, he was not yet. I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man. Watch now. Mark the perfect man or the righteous man, he said, and uphold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. It doesn't look like it, does it? When you have the world put into death, God's people who only just care about serving him, it looks like there's no peace at all. How can there be peace when people die for the cause of Christ and that's the only reason? And by the way, we got a lot of them doing that today. Literally dying for them. We know right now already this ISIS group over in the Middle East says if you deny Jesus Christ, you can live. And they don't do it and they kill them. Not just shoot them. Notice he said, but the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. That's what prayer does for. We learn that in the time of the trouble, God gives us strength we don't even know we have. When I think about that, it brings fear to my heart. If I was a missionary in that field and something to be wrestled like that, and you know you're headed to death because in that case right now they just need to kill you, look at you. In fact, they'd rather do that than get a little clout in the world. And there's nothing but fear can fill your heart. And that's the time we're vulnerable because Satan can come and sweep. Talk those little things to us and say, you see, if you were really right with God and you're doing what God wants, God's more powerful. He says he's more powerful than Satan is. Therefore, why are you going on the king? Don't you know if you deny him that you might could do more for him? No, you can't. But once he's denied, there's not a whole lot of anybody can do anymore because that'll be something Satan to bring up later when you do that. What I'm saying to you, prayer is one of the first places that we find ourselves before God. And we pray. Say, but preacher, what do you pray? You pray as you wait. But when you wait, you just don't stop. You're busy. You're doing going the way. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. You're in the way. And when you pray, we pray. It's simple. I've had people say, well, you know, I love to pray, but I can't pray like so-and-so. I love to pray, but I just come out. I'll tell you what, I got the worst vocabulary in the world. But when I pray my heart. And that's the way you should do. And when you get a chance in there, I want you, let's come around the altar for a few minutes, if you will, and we're going to have prayer together as a family. We're a family, folks, and you're welcome to join us if you're here tonight with us. Find a good place to sit. Find just a good place to sit. And if you want to sit in a pew up front, do that. If you get around here, anywhere at all. And what I want you to let's see tonight, we pray every week, and we'll go back to the format next week, and every week we'll pray because that's what we come together for in a Bible study. Nothing wrong with that. But what I'm saying to you, it's certainly a thing of his time. When the world sets aside a time to pray, and they pray to every God that they can think of on the planet Earth, we need to look at God's word and say, Lord, tonight we want to do what you said do. Get in a comfort place. We might be here just a little while. We're going to do what we're going to ask the Lord to help me. And which is what I want you to do. I don't care who you're here. Don't you worry about anybody else. You just isolate yourself, anyone else, and you and God. And then I don't care how long it takes. If people get tired and leave, I'll be here till you finish. Because I really believe God gave me this direction this morning. Because I had it all planned. I thought like I wanted. And I have done nothing just rejoicing and looking at this during the day, right fresh in my mind. Just isolate yourself before God, before everybody else, to God, and say, when go to Him and just say what's on your heart. Don't be ashamed, because if you do that, the Holy Spirit will take what you say and take it to the throne of grace. And I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, it'll be right. If there's such a thing that people pray lofty in ways to impress, it don't get beyond the ceiling. We should pray what's on our heart. If you feel inclination, if it's only a few words to say anything of thanksgiving or ask God something, do it out loud, and there'll be nobody here. I'll tell you, there's not going to be no mocking in this, because if so, they're the ones who need more prayer than anybody else. I want you as a body of believers. We're Christians. We're God's family. I want us to go to the throne of grace tonight as a family. If there's anything on your heart to say, say it. And when we get to a point, I'll finish it up.
Feel free to pray out loud if you want to. They attack that you better, I know.
But dear Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, for being able to come together as a body of believers. Dear God, we love you. Lord, we hope that we can come to you the best we know in a part of thanksgiving for our sake. Lord, we thank you for the many blessings we've seen over this past year. And Lord, you've been so good to us as a body of believers. Lord, we thank you for our man of God that teaches us and has kept us abreast of the scriptures, Father, that we can function in this world we're living in today. Thank you, him and his family, and his blessings. The Lord, tonight, it seems like my heart is burdened because we have a lot of people, Lord, you said. But on my heart for a while now, I think about Miss Wendy Taylor, Lord, if she could be in this service. I believe she would be, Lord, if she's one to like to pray. Lord, I pray she'll be with her heart tonight. Comfort her. I think about Mr. Billy Carroll, Father. He loves you. Lord, as long as he's got you in mind, he's always loved you, Lord. He's always encouraged me, and I thank you, Lord, that he was here when his mind was fresh, because he sure encouraged me, Father, a lot during life highway. God, I pray for him tonight and his body. Lord, I thank you, Mr. Shield. I miss him, dear Lord. I find myself praying a lot for him, dear God, and his family. Pray to come to him tonight, Lord. And Father, I think about my sister, Miss Betty. Lord, she needs you tonight and your family. I pray, Lord, that you'll please comfort her, Lord, because I know she would like to be here. God, she needs a special touch in your hand. She needs some healing, Lord. I pray that you'll grant that, Father, because we love her. She's been such a part of our church, not only in the being a regular worker, Father, but just being a Christian friend and encouraging. I pray that you'll bless her, Lord. Father, I know there's others that sick. Lord, some's gone to be with you this year, Lord. And dear God, I thank the precious memories. I think about tonight. I think back, Lord, on J.B. Mitchell. Lord, Buster Johnson. Mr. Donald Shute. Lord, I think about men that encourage me. And Lord, I pray that if I stay in this church, Lord, I pray that you'll give me a heart of encouragement for my brothers and sisters. I pray that they'll know that really in my heart I care. And Lord, I want to see them happy and I want to see them encouraged. I pray that us Christian men that's older in the church will have that kind of spirit, Lord, to encourage the young ones in this church. I pray that the ladies, like my wife, women, that's up in years, I pray that they work in encouraging the young people, Father. And Lord, I think that many times, some of the teenagers sometimes will come up and give an encouraging word to me. Lord, that means so much. Father, I thank you so much for seeing the talent begin to grow in this church like we were so blessed with tonight. Lord, I thank you for the visitors that's here tonight. Lord, that means a lot to us too, that loved ones will bring their family and friends into this church. God, I pray that they'll feel the love of Christ in their hearts tonight and the love that we have for them as fellow believers. Lord, I just pray that you're blessed tonight. Lord, I could go on, but I didn't want to say thank you, Lord, for my family. Lord, thank you for many blessings this year. We've had our ups and downs, Lord, but you've been good. And I just love you, Lord Jesus, and I thank you for dying for me. ladies that have helped and carried on the work here, all the workers. And Lord, I just love you and I'm thankful that you use the same.
Well, God, I thank you for this family that you've given to me. Lord, years ago, if I'd have looked forward, I'd never know that I'd be here. If these people wouldn't be here beside me, that I wouldn't care for them, that they care for me. But Lord, now I see it. And Lord, you brought me to it. And Lord, I thank you so much for it. I remember, Lord, when I was a young boy and I was traveling across this world, and you strengthened me for some of the things that I had to deal with as being a foreigner in foreign lands. Lord, I look at these young people today that's in our church. And Lord, I know they're going to deal with some things in this life that they're getting ready to face that I didn't deal with when I was a young man. The nation is changing, this world is changing, and the way they're going to be looked at is going to be totally different. So Lord, I pray that you give them strength. Lord, strengthen them with your word, strengthen them with your power. Give them, Lord, the strength that they need to face each and every day. Lord, give them the faith that they're going to need as they go through each and every day. I can't imagine what it's going to be for these young, these that aren't even up to where they can speak yet, Lord, when they grow up. And Lord, if you don't come back, I don't know what they're going to face. Lord, as bad as it is today, I can't imagine what it's going to be. I thank you, God, that you put them here. I thank you, Lord, that you put us around them. I thank you, Lord, that you give us an opportunity to train them and to help them and to strengthen them. Lord, I thank you that you give us the example to be for them. And I thank you for all these people here, because it's not just the young people. Lord, we all take strength one from another. Lord, as we've been praying for the sick, it's just as well for the healthy. We need your help, Lord. Spiritually, we need your help. We go every day out into this world. And every day the world is waxing worse and worse. And Lord, we have to go and come back. We have to go and come back. As the pastor was saying during the Sheraton, it's nice to get behind the doors of your home with your family. And Lord, we appreciate that. But we've got to get out in the world and we've got to spread the message and we've got to tell the gospel. And we've got to reach other people, Lord. It is hard. They don't want to hear it. It seems as though every time I talk to somebody, they've already heard it. They already know it. They're already saved. But yet, Lord, they don't look like it. They don't act like it. And Lord, they don't look like they're living their lives. It would be exalting you and what you do for them and what you've done for us. God, help us to figure out a way to reach them. But I don't know any other way except to open my mouth and start talking to them. Or maybe something that they say would be a chink in their armor that I can work at. Lord, help me to have the wisdom, the understanding, and the will to do what you asked me to do. Help us all, Lord, as a church, to do what you've asked us to do. God, some churches look for numbers. We're not really necessarily looking for numbers, Lord. We're just looking for people that love you. And we're looking for more people to love you because you've done so much for us. God, I thank you so much for all you've done. But I can't explain it. Everyone here understands it. But in the very darkest part of the night, when I'm awake, I think about what you've done for me. Lord, it overwhelms me. It takes me to a different place. It makes me feel so happy and yet so low. Lord, there is so much about what you've done, so much about where you brought me from. I thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me. I thank you, Lord, for what you've done for my brothers and sisters. Lord, I pray that we don't forget, that we always remember, Lord, your sacrifice. When we get up and go every morning, remember what we've got to look forward to because of what you've done for us. Lord, help us to be better witnesses. Thank you, Lord, so much for this church that you give to us. Thank you so much, Lord, for the pastor, the way that he preaches, the compassion that he has, the power, Lord, that you give. But it's very obvious. He's a man of God, and we thank you, Lord. We praise you for it. Lord, there's so much more I can pray about. And I thank you for these here, and I'm going to give them an opportunity in Jesus' name. we know our hearts tonight. We know that we love you, God, because you signify that love to us every single weekend to you, God.
Yes.
Face this earth, because you hung down on Calvary's cross that many years ago. And Lord, you didn't stop to leave us alone then. You look out to save a day. You supply our needs. You give us that we stand in need of day by day, oh God. And you pick us up when we fall and tumble down, God. You pick us up and brush us off and put us back on the right road again. You encourage us, you help us, you guide us, God, and we just thank you for that, Lord, because the old song says we can't even walk without you holding our hand. And God, we've learned that over the years. God, we can walk that straight line as long as we allow you to hold our hand. God, we just pray that you'll be with us tonight. God, this message that our brother's promised here tonight, as he read it on the first, Lord, out of 2 Chronicles 7:14. You're not talking to the heathens, God. You're talking to your people. And Lord, I think about that so much. If your people could turn from their wicked ways and seek your face, that wonderful promise there, God. And what I see in this old world, God, we're not doing the job because there's so much turmoil coming upon the face of this earth. So much that's coming into this world that people are justified as a right. God, but they've not convinced me yet that man and man and woman should be married, God, because you tell us in your scripture that unnatural things will happen at toward the end of the time. And God, if we're not seeing it, I hope and pray to the Lord, if you don't leave me here long enough to see anything any worse than that against the will of God. So I pray, God, that you'd help us as Christians that we'd be more thankful.
Yes.
Lord, we get so involved on Thanksgiving Day, we get so excited about cooking a big old brown turkey and diving into the middle of it, God. And Lord, we just take for granted so many things. If we could take it and realize Thanksgiving is for thanks to God for the wonderful things you've given us, not just on Thanksgiving Day, but 365 days a year, God. You supply our needs, God, and you give us our daily bread, and you just bless our families, God, and you hold us together, and you encourage us, and you help us, God. We just thank you for that, Lord. We just pray, God, in some way, somehow, we're the unit of Christian people gathered around this altar here tonight and standing in this church day after day, God, seeking your will. We just pray, God, that we, some way, somehow, you find a way to help us to be more useful than ever before, because there's an outreach to be done and there's people to witness to every day, God. Regardless of where we go and what we do, we find people there, God. And Lord, we never know until we speak to them the encouragement they need. So God, it blesses my heart to speak to someone and tell them to have a blessed day. And it puts such a smile on their face, God. I feel like I have done the will of God of sharing them what's in my heart. And Lord, and helping them to realize they need that peace and joy and contentment in their heart. Because Lord, we can't go to any store or any place and buy that. We can only get it free from Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Because he tells us all good and perfect gifts come through Jesus Christ. And we thank you for that tonight, Lord. And I thank you for all these people, how they've been here so good and so strong, God. And I just pray, Lord, that you keep on keeping on for us and help us to realize that job is a little tougher than what we've been willing to do. And we need to keep on keeping on for you, Lord. And we need to keep on encouraging one another, Lord. It's been blessing my heart coming on the door. Because I gain strength to be able to crush my brothers and sisters in Christ. I pray that I give them strength, Lord, and just share it with them. And Lord, that's what it's all about, living for Jesus, and living with one another, and sharing God with one another. So help us, oh God, through this Thanksgiving season and through any seasons coming up, that we'll keep the right one in the middle of that season. And that right one is no one but Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And we just thank you for this opportunity to be able to come here tonight, share it from the depth of our heart, that we love you, and we thank you, and we praise you for tonight, we pray.
Heavenly Father, I just want to come to you tonight, Lord, just, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for my job, Lord. I remember 3 or 4 years ago, Lord, it was a dark, dark, dark day, Lord. And Lord, as we look back, we try to figure out how in the world did you pay the bills. Thank you, Lord. Lord, as you look around in this room, people here tonight, Lord, if I was in a pinch, Lord, I could call them. And if it was in their power, Lord, they'd help me. Lord, bless them. Lord, I know people don't have anybody they can call. And I've just got numberless people in my family, Lord, I could call if I was in a bad place. Lord, I think about my brothers and sisters that have lost loved ones recently. I pray, dear God, that you'll bless them. I know a holiday's a tough time, more tough than others. I pray that you'll bless them, lift them up, Lord. I pray to God that they'll understand, Lord, their loved ones in a great place. Lord, I thank you for my wife. What a privilege, Lord, to have a woman that's faithful to you. That would do anything you ask her to do. I thank you for my parents, Lord. For faithful parents, Lord. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday, I don't have to wonder where they're going to be. They're going to be in the house of God. I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for the men that I serve on the deacon board with, Lord. As we were here last night, doing your work, Lord, but enjoying each other's company. I thank you for that. I thank you for my pastor, Lord. Just being faithful, Lord. Just still preaching the same book that he started out preaching 40-some years ago, Lord. I thank you for that. It'd been a whole lot easier, Lord. There's no telling the money Mr. Ennis could have made, Lord, if he'd have gone out to evangelism or something, Lord. But you've kept him here. We're so grateful for that. Thankful for his wife being faithful to him, Lord. I know there's no way a man of God can do what he needs to do without a faithful wife behind him. We thank you for that, Lord. But we just, again, just, my gracious Lord, we can just sit here all night thanking for things. We fall so short of what your perfect will is every day, it seems, Lord. Just do things and you say, why in the world? But Lord, I know we confess our sins, Lord, you're faithful and just to forgive us our sins, Lord. And just to cleanse us, Lord. So I pray to God that you'll bless each and every family here tonight. I pray that you will give them a great day tomorrow. I hope they enjoy their families. Help them to enjoy the fruits of their labors. But also, Lord, help us to just remember how grateful and how privileged we are that you've been so good to us to put us in a place in this country, Lord, that we can go out and work and earn a good living, Lord. We thank you for that. And we pray that you'll bless us. In Jesus' name I pray.
When I look around and see the good things you've done for me, I know I'm worthy of them all. For your blessings you freely give, I owe my life to you. I've got so much to thank you for, and I've got so much to thank you for. So much to praise him for, you see. He's been so good to me. And someday I'll reach heaven sure. And please, Lord, let me kneel once more. I've got so much to thank him for.
You said to the Numbers chapter 11, verse 1.
soon those people would fire. Because they was not thankful, Father. God, you showed us in Psalm 100 how you pray the same way this earth was started. You're good to us, Father God. God, we deserve death, hell, and glory. We deserve to have fire on us. But your son, Jesus Christ. What is that? How good you've been to us, Father. God,
I prayed in vain, if I said one word in vain, forgive me. But I felt the Holy Angel of God. God, I love you, Jesus.
Lord, we thank you for your mercy, Lord, and your grace. God, we just thank you, Lord, that we could thank you for eternity and it wouldn't be enough. God, it just wouldn't be enough. And one day we'll get the chance to do it. And it won't be in these frail lips with things on our heart and things in our lives that interfere. One day, Lord, we'll be able to do it in a glorified body and see you as you are. God, I pray for our country. Lord, my burden the last weeks and months, Lord, has been on our country, our youth. Things we see going on in our country, Lord, sometimes it feels like we've gone back in time. And God, we have something different. Your word said in these days that people's love would wax cold. And we're seeing that, Lord. Lord, we see it even in our own lives, Lord, as Christians. Our love is cold even to each other, Lord. Even in the walls of a church, sometimes we can't even speak to each other. It's no wonder the world struggles. Lord, we struggle and we have your word and your Holy Spirit. God, I pray you'll comfort and heal this nation. God, I pray we'll do our part to tell others about Jesus Christ. There's no politician. There's no particular race. There's no creed that's going to save people's souls in this world. It's Jesus Christ alone. You are the answer, Lord. And God, I pray you'll heal. I pray you'll heal the feelings and the people all across this country. And even in Ferguson, where they've had riots and people hate on hate, race and religion on each other. God, we have something different to offer. Jesus Christ can heal broken hearts and lives and spirits. God, it's what separates us, Lord, from the rest of the world. It's natural to have hate on hate and return hate with hate. But God, you give us a spirit to love, to turn the other cheek even when people have done things to us. God, I pray we'll be the example that we should, Lord. And God, I pray you'll heal our nation. God, I pray that we'll do our part, though, as Christians, Lord. I pray that we'll ask for our own healing. God, and do our part to tell others. To show others with their life. It's one thing to tell people. But if we live the exact opposite, if we talk about how much of a Christian we are and we go to work and our work ethic is not good, and we don't live our lives as a Christian, then people are going to skip right over what we've said because our lives show something different. God, convict us. Deep down, convict us, Lord, to love you, to serve you. God, we thank you so much for your love for us. God, I'm thankful for my family. Like Brother Ken said, I'm thankful that I grew up in a Christian family. I'm thankful for my brother, my wife, nieces and nephews, and knowing that I have a mother and father that'll be in church somewhere when the doors are open. God, I'm ashamed that I had that and still ran from you for so long. And Lord, I thank you for our pastor. I thank you for this church. God, use this church and these people to convict me. Over and over, I was hard and proud and bitter and thought that I sat in church and lived as good a life as anybody in this church. And God, you convicted me and you broke me. Lord, you showed me true love. Use people in this church like Johnny Jones, who showed me what real love was. And our pastor, who showed us and taught us what real love was. And God, you crushed my pride. And I realized they want anything I could do to merit getting to heaven. I couldn't ride my parents' coattail. I couldn't go to the same church they did. I couldn't depend on my brother, Lord, for my salvation. I couldn't depend on my pastor. God, you convicted me and showed me that no matter what I did, it just wasn't good enough. God, all I had to do was just trust you. You extended the gift. All I had to do was take it, and I was too proud to do that for a long time. But God, I thank you with all my heart for your grace and your patience with proud, foolish people. God, there were several times in my life I was just moments in hindsight, just moments from death. And you were so patient. God, if I had been you, I would have snuffed my life out. I wouldn't have took the time. Knowing who I am now and what I've been, Lord, I'd have never, if I were you, I'd have never took the time and the patience to save me. I don't deserve it, Lord. God, I don't deserve a good wife. And you above all beings, Lord, know that I don't deserve happy, healthy children. But I give you 100% of the glory and the honor. And God, I may not live to tomorrow. None of us know. But God, I pray that my children, if I die before I leave this building tonight, I pray that they'll know I loved you. And I'm not ashamed to give you 100% of the credit for anything meaningful in my life. Lord, you have blessed me. When I was young, I didn't apply myself. I was lazy and proud and thought the world owed me something. And you have blessed me, God, beyond measure. If you didn't do another thing for me the rest of my life, you've done more than I deserve already. God, I love you. I love this church. I love these people. God, you know my heart. I get encouraged when I come here. Lord, when I teach Sunday school, I get more of a blessing from the class I know than they do me. I'm encouraged when I go in there. I'm encouraged in our church services. Wednesday night, the teaching, Lord. God, I'm sorry I could go on, but Lord, in my flood of time, God, I thank you so much for your love for us. We're so unworthy, God, but yet we're so thankful, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray.
Heavenly Father, I know at times it's hard for anyone to understand how God leads. Your word is your voice. Your word is your direction. You said if you hide it in the heart, we'll not sin against you. It's our instructions. Without it, we wouldn't know what to do. I'm glad, Lord, you don't expect to get us all in one lump. You expect over the years as we walk with you to study it. In 54 years, I thank you for what you've done through the years. Neither I know at the time the direction you gave us how it was going to end up. Lord, I believe everybody here tonight who stayed with us to pray, his heart's desire to want to do something right. And I feel like this is right tonight. We looked at the scriptures. We linked ourselves with the Old Testament and New Testament saints. We turn aside to things of the world now for a few minutes more than just come to church and leave. We come to you in prayer. I'm so glad, Lord, to know that though this planet Earth is on the boondocks of the universe, in our Milky Way, the throne of God yonder somewhere in the portals of glory, it's just a prayer away. And our Father, each one of us tonight, as we hear prayers being made, no doubt go back, and everyone here certainly has some means to come to you in prayer. And I pray that others have prayed, or they themselves have been praying. God, nothing pleases God's heart any more than for his children to come to him in prayer and recognize how much we need you. Lord, it's so easy in this world plentiful we live in, especially in our land, to think that while we've arrived because we've had the intelligence or the ability or the wisdom or the good health or whatever we want to call it, be at the right place, the right time, get the right education. Man, we got a string of things we can say that sometimes we get so taken up in them things that God has put down somewhere way down the list. But tonight, Lord, I know without a doubt, those who stay with us understand that God wanted us to do more than just have a simple prayer. And dear Father, it's not that we do this all the time, but every once in a while we do need to come more and break through the barriers that are around where Satan gives us at times to get beyond just where we're at to where you're at, to the throne of grace. And every heart's here tonight's praying. Whatever it is that lays before your throne, it comes from individuals, but we're a body of believers. They're coming to the throne of grace. The world would laugh at us. We could be mocked about it. We don't care. They don't have the word of God like you. They'll follow some other theology or sociology or some ideology. Lord, we're following your word. And if the Old Testament saints could do it, if David could do it, if John and Peter could do it going to the temple, if your scriptures, and we go through the scriptures I have in the last few hours, Lord, there's so many scriptures you have put down about praying and prayer and about waiting on the Lord when we do that. And tonight we're doing that. Not only have we prayed, but we're here waiting on you as we pray. And we know you hear our prayer. Why? Because it's not selfishly. It's the desire to know. It's the desire to worship you. And we say, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb that takes away our sin. Worthy is the Lamb that take our place. Worthy is the Lamb, the absolute Son of God, that shed his precious blood, Peter said, that we might have life. And Lord, not only do we need just to pray like this for a period of time, but we could pray all night long and never thank you enough what you've done for us. May you see this little time for those who come and those who stayed with us tonight to pray. May you see in our hearts that we do mean it when we come to you in prayer. Lord, we do things on a routine basis. We say blessings wherever we're at, eating, we say that. And we say it because we know it's a thing to do, and we know it's that others need to see it been done. But there's sometimes we need to come and do more than just say a blessing or a short prayer. We need, as a body of believers, to fall on our face before you unashamed and lay out our life before you and lay out what we think of you and let Satan hear us say it out loud, how much we love you. And Father, we know we make mistakes. We know there's things, times in our life that we may not have other things together. We've not arrived as of yet. We're still learning this body. We're still having to face disasters and things in life that try to trick us sometimes and trips us up. And Lord, sometimes we have we're thoughts because we don't know how to handle things. And then you're so gracious to deal with us, as many have prayed here tonight, and shown patient to us and lead us to the right scriptures to guide us through the maze until we come out the other side seeing things so clearly. And thank you for that. Lord, I think about even tonight as we pray, and Brother Stroop, he's on the Lord years ago in the early of my ministry, how I went to see him. He took me way down into the woods by a stump. Little did we know what would be done around that stump. We were not in the church in the pulpit, just a place where he had to pray. Down in the woods by a stump, a big tree had been cut down. We got out of that. Oh, what a blessing. Lord, what a blessing. Thank you for memories. Thank you, Lord, for the tight times and the hard times. Because you so much bless me more than all of us we deserve. We don't gripe about those times, Lord. Many times when people talk about them, they talk because they want others to know that they understand where some people are at in hard times, and let them know that God is real. He will bring them through it. Once you get through the maze and you see things clearly, God will show us. It might be another maze to go through, maybe another valley, another trial, but he never leaves us or forsakes us. Dear God, see tonight that not only individuals, but everyone here kneel around this altar. We come to the throne of grace. We do come boldly, but we come humbly. You teach us we can do that and see our heart as near as we can. In what Chronicles said in chapter 7, when you talked to Solomon, Lord, what a joy to know that we have someone we know that you said you'd hear. We've done that here tonight. You said you'd hear. These have been lifted up in prayer. God, you've delivered a lot, and you're going to deliver more. Those who've been through the hardship of losing loved ones, their father, and it's always a devastating thing. And even Jesus showed us that he had tears when a dear friend like Lazarus died, and yet he wept knowing he's going to raise him from the dead. So Jesus shows us that tears are really good sometimes because it breaks down and breaks out to the heart open before God in a way that when you get to a point, you just don't care what anyone thinks. You just come and to lay out your heart before the Lord. Thank you for the prayers here tonight. You talk about in Revelation, prayers of the saints go before the Lord as a sweet smell unto him. We pray tonight, you see that. We pray that Satan been defeated tonight in some people's lives simply because we prayed. If we'd been somewhere else, who knows, they might not have got a thing because they had other things on their mind. But Lord, tonight, we've been around this altar and praying. Thank you for loving us. We need wisdom. We need understanding. And we need anointing of the Spirit of God. Draw us together for the purpose of your glory, not for our good, because anything for your glory be for our good. And help us see our world in a new vision, see our town, and be humble enough to be concerned about souls until you call us home. In Jesus' wonderful, precious, marvelous name we pray. Amen and amen. Stand to your feet. I want to sing. Let's just sing, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. Now, folks, let me say for belief. Some folks will say, well, that preacher just did that not to kind of get on our sympathy side. No, I didn't. God knows our heart. The world don't understand what we do here tonight. They just don't understand. But we do. And God sees our heart. Now, I bet you anything, if you're honest with the Lord and you pray, don't you sit, you give the Lord your heart tonight, even silently. If you did that, you're going to leave here rejoicing because you know God heard your prayer. And that's a joyful thing tonight. Amen. Tell two or three people you love them. We'll do your dismiss. God bless you.